Great. So how many preachers is this for me? Four. Someone. It's number four. And it's not a sequence. It's not the sequel to the other three. I don't know. You can tell me afterwards. But like any good preach, it needs to have a title. So the title will be The Slippery Incline You Face When You're Eating Worms. So it was said to me, of that elaborate list of long preachers I have, it's like I am like a wartime pilot. The takeoff is good, the flying is okay, but the landing is horrible. It just goes, done. And then I leave it over to the poor oak that's leading, need to pick up the scratches. So today, I'm going to swing it around. I'm going to start off with the finish. So with the punchline, with the pinnacle of today's message, I'm going to start off. And luckily, you are still awake and still paying attention. Okay. So here it goes. The summary of the fridge magnet wisdom. Jesus wants to reveal the way Satan uses our excuses that is deeply rooted in pride to keep you and me spiritually blind and makes you lame or paralyzed. So I'll say it again. So that's the preach. Okay. Today, Jesus wants to reveal the way Satan uses our excuses. That excuses that is deeply rooted in pride. And that keeps us spiritually blind, lame, or paralyzed. And I think it touches very nicely on the word that Herman A. brought. How can you go into war if you're blind? You're pretty useless being lame or even paralyzed in war. And today I think God wants to reveal, what are those things that keep us blind? And it will be something individually for you that's different from the guy next to you. That's why I'm so dependent on the Holy Spirit, that He reveals stuff to you today. What is that thing that keeps you from walking the mandate God gave you? So are you an ugly worm struggling to ascend a slippery hill? A hill that has three distinct steps. So the first step where we start is woe me, arme ek, shame. Step two, change from who me to whom me? Yes, you. That's step two. And then step three is, yes, us please, all seven. And we'll get to all three steps. Great. Now we can go into the preach. So we've got you know what it's all about? So now we can start. So test me please in the end if I covered the summary or concluded into the summary. So story time. Like any good preach, you need to have a story. But it needs to be a personalized story. Okay, some of you might have heard the story already. Those that went camping, you've heard the gist of it. But I just felt I need to share it because not everyone was in the camp, and the one that was at camp and you need to hear it again, there's reason in that as well. Okay. So last weekend we hired a caravan to go camping, and when we went to sleep, we heard that there's an inhabitant that we didn't pay for, but that we got with a caravan. And that was a cricket. So, like you know, it's quite a noisy little thing when you try to sleep. So I tried finding it in the dark. And I can see Lindy laughing already. But you know, finding a cricket looks like, okay, you hear it. And then you go, okay, I think it's here. And then you follow it. As you get closer, it just shuts up. Just, okay, then you start again. And then, okay, now you hear it again. But now it's not there, it's there. Okay. So what literally, this is how it ended up. So, almost like Lulu, but this is church. But that's what it was. I tried finding that cricket. I couldn't find it. But then I discovered we were the lucky guys that camped next to those neighbors. The noisy ones. The ones that as time ticks on, they just get louder. And I thought, okay. Then I thought, two wrongs does make a right. Yeah. So come on. You've all done it. It was not only me. So what I realized is the cricket drowns out the noisy neighbors. So that's not too bad. That's okay. At least the cricket is God's creation. We in nature. So God wants to teach me to love nature and love, and it's so great. But then I realized it's only an excuse. It's an excuse of not dealing with any of the two problems. I used the problems to sort it out. And that's why I messed it up. I didn't find the cricket, and I didn't go speak to the neighbors. Easy problem to solve, actually. But no, I hide behind my excuses. I couldn't find the cricket, and at least the cricket drowned out the neighbors. I even, in the morning, joked about, I couldn't find the cricket. And we had coffee with some of you guys, and I just couldn't find the cricket. And I was actually ashamed. I was ashamed to say to people, I suck at finding a cricket in the dark. Thank you. I didn't deal with a cricket when my family needed it. I was too proud to admit failure. So I joked about it. And actually, I started looking for someone to blame. This guy that rented the caravan, he didn't clean the thing out. Who's giving a cricket with the caravan? And he pays, and I need to pay for it. So it's someone else's fault. So the blaming game started. And then the other problem, the noisy neighbors. I needed my 8-year-old to wake up to come tell me they're making a noise, I can't sleep. So I needed a little boy to say, Dad, get up, do something. So I needed to get out of bed, open the caravan door, walk around, asking the guys, listen, it's 11:45. And they were like, what? Everyone that was in a bar already, you know this. Sorry, Wim. That kind of thing. But the point I want to make is I had to get up. I need to walk to them to solve the problem. And I must say, after that, it was quiet, except for the cricket. But they were quiet. The next day, they actually came to us, apologized, and we had a great camp together. Okay, so that's the story. And if you listen carefully, the thread that we're going to go through, I've already covered. Okay, but there was, in Scripture, almost the same kind of thing that happened. And I want to touch on that. It's a very known event. So if we can turn to find a Christian that has a Bible. If you don't have one, this is church. And if you did forget it, accidentally, we'll put it up on the board. So John 5, verse 1 to 15. I know it's a long piece, but it's a known piece. And we're just quickly going to go through it, and then I want to unpack certain things that links to the story of the cricket and my noisy neighbors. Okay, so time later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate at Pool, which is Aramaic, is called Bethesda, I think it's called, did I do it again in English? And which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Okay, now we've got the setting, big place, pool, and you all know the story that happened. Okay, there's a great number of disabled people, used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. Okay, remember 38 years. We'll come back to that. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Then the man went away and told the Jewish leader that it was Jesus who had made him well. So everyone knows the story. And my prayers, don't shut off because you know the story. Because I think the Holy Spirit has work to be done in your heart based on this very well-known story. So I want to nitpick and just go through the story with certain specific verses that I want to highlight. So if you go to verse number 6. So Jesus asked, "Do you want to get well or healed?" So let's just hover there a bit. Sometimes our troubles and issues become such a part of our lives and our identity that we have difficulty letting them go. So what I took out of it is the question was asked, "Do you want to get healed? Do you want to get well?" That's what Jesus asked. In verse 7, the guy replied, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool while I'm trying. Someone else goes ahead of me." Okay, so the question was asked, "Do you want to get healed?" His response is, "I have no one to help me." So in Afrikaans, we have this little song when you were a kid. And the Afrikaans guys can jump in and help. "Hoe ek is 'n eensame krokodil, die mense kyk vir my en gril. Ek soek maters hoog en laag, almal sê ek eet te graag." And in English, Becky, now you need to come. "Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm gonna eat some worms. Juicy fat ones, small and skinny ones. I'm gonna eat some worms." So with that, is when I read this guy's reply, I just had this picture in my mind. When Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get healed?" And this guy, blah, 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 blah. Excuse, 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 excuse. I think that, and I say it respectfully, I think that's what Jesus heard. He says, "That's not what I asked you. I asked you, did you want to get healed? And all you give me is a bunch of excuses." So just link that back to my cricket story. All I did, I had a bunch of excuses. And I think this was What the Lord also heard. Nap, 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 excuse, excuse, excuse from this man. And he didn't answer the question. So many times, we don't even listen. Men, you don't listen to your wife. We are good at that. And then when we don't listen, we are quick to justify. Very quick to justify why I'm in this state, why I'm in this problem. We are quick to reason. We are also ashamed of our situation. And then we start blaming someone else. So what strikes me of this man at the pool at this point, he was actually alone. Because he said, I don't have anyone to help me. Maybe I've lost faith of the people around him, of his family. Scripture says he was there for 38 years. It's not a short time. I can imagine he had lost all hope. But I think the key was he was alone. And that's what that struck me. But this morning, Jesus is offering you, as he did for him, instant healing. But there's a choice you need to make. And we'll unpack that in a bit. To let go of those things that you hold on to. Past experiences, problems, people that hold you on to that of, it's easier just to make an excuse. But luckily our story doesn't end there. In verse 8 and 9, Jesus commands this oak, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. That's a miracle. After 38 years, by just being spoken to, the guy got up, took his mat and he walked. The key for me is he was obedient when Jesus told him. He didn't say, okay, let me just lie a bit. Yeah, I was used to this place. It's my little mat. I'm just going to be here. I'll wake up and I'll get going on it when it suits me. What struck me, this guy was obedient immediately. He got up, he picked up his mat, and he started to walk. So two things in this strike me in this two verses. Firstly, he had a mat. So I thought in my quiet, what does that mat represent? It was something he lied on top of. It was his safe space. It was his thing that he hanged onto. It confined him. It even comforted him. But it might have kept him in bondage. So, just to illustrate, this is a boy in our home. He received it when he was young. He was a little boy. He's now 17, a big oak, bigger than me, stronger than me, but he still had his comfort. Luckily, I didn't take it out of his bed this morning. It was on his cupboard. But he loves his Billy. Up until probably 2 years ago, he went on a rugby tour with Billy. Billy went with. And then there's another mat in our home. So this is the other boy in my home. It's his doody bears. He got it when he was a baby, and you can afterwards come and feel it. It's thin, it's worn out, but it's only 8 years old. I can just imagine a mat of 38 years. What was that mat looking like? This is pretty much still intact. He still uses it every night, I promise. This I took out of his bed this morning. And I did ask permission if I can use it. It's fairly clean, so it's fine. But this was just, for me, practically, we still hold on to stuff that gives us comfort. And then God says to this man, what Jesus told him, pick up and walk. Now that it is healed, he had to do something. He wasn't healed and left there on his little Mikey. He was asked to do something. You need to stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. That was the command. And that struck me. And for me today, God wants you to pick up stuff. He wants to deal with your mat, with your situation this morning. He's challenging us to do something. To get rid of that thing that holds you back. That's your excuses. That's your little Mikey. And he's asking you to walk into what he has for you. So may I go out on a limb and saying the root of that stuff that holds you back, your little Mikey, sits in pride. I was prideful to say I couldn't catch the cricket. I was too proudful to walk out to the neighbors at 10, so I thought someone else will do it. Someone else camping. Dan was just down. Why didn't Dan? Because he's got more kids than me. He's small. I'm sure Dan will go and talk to them. So Dan was sleeping. But that was my excuse. Because what will these guys say if I'm now going to talk to them? What will they say? So I was prideful. And why just throw it out there? I think when we are truly honest with ourselves, those things, those little Mikeys we hold on to, is stuck in pride. I know this could be an heavy, and it is probably a heavy, but God wants to deal with that today. But the light in the heavy is he conquered it all already. He might ask you to pick it up today and walk, but the victory has been done. So as you deal with these things, you start walking into the freedom Dan spoke about 2 weeks ago. The freedom of Vladimir the Bear. And if you haven't listened to his preach, go onto the app, listen to it. And that's what God wants for all of us, to walk into that freedom of Vladimir. And as you start to walk, you go on to step two. Like I said, it was who, me, arme ek, as Opa Eil, I think that was the valve thing. But arme ek, I'm a crocodile, I'm eating worms, I'm not good enough. And then God puts his finger on it. You pick up your mat, you deal with it, you take to step two. Which is, first, God, me? You've picked me out of all these oaks that lie next to the pool. You picked me. Yes, he did. And today he's speaking to you. He's speaking to you, asking to lay down your mat. And that brings you to step two. So let's just quickly recap. Excuses as the foundation or the glue that keeps you in step one. Woe is me, the crocodile, eating worms. Step two, who, me, Lord? Why me? But today you have the opportunity to get rid of your mat. I almost said, to get off your mat, I almost said, oh, maybe af van jou mat af. Lig jou gat. Sorry, Dan. Luckily, Dan is, it was like, what? Luckily, you didn't understand that. But I think God is asking us for action. It's not enough sitting here, I need to deal with that thing. I will pray about it. Tomorrow morning in my quiet time, I'm going to pray about it. God is asking a response, and we'll get to that. Luckily, our story continues, but with a bit of reality check. So let's look at verse 10. So then the Jewish leaders, they represent the world, Why do you carry your mat on a Sabbath? That was his question. So he just got healed, picked up his mat, and now he's walking. And other Jewish guys say, hey, what are you doing? Carrying your mat on a Sabbath. And it was, for me, a reminder to be aware and to know that the world will come. And they will attack. They will question the decisions you make today. They will come and make fun of it. And they will throw doubts into your mind. As you take the step of getting rid of that mat, the world will come and attack you. Just, it's clear in this piece for me. But let's look at this man's very mature answer. Just remember, he just went from step one to step two in minutes. God came, spoke to him, he picked up his mat and he's walking. And now, I mean, he's been healed 38 years. His faith must be poof, there. So let's, in verse 11. So the man, and I include, maybe we should us. What's our answer to the world? No, it was the man who made me well that said, I must pick up my mat. And I think again, this sounds so familiar. Blah, 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 excuses, excuses. He was just set free. He just physically got healed. And when the world pushed a bit, he was, whoop, I'm back in eating worms. Whoop, he started to slip. It wasn't me, he said. It's out of my control. I couldn't help myself. It was my parents. It's that wife you gave me. It's my stupid husband. Oops, I did it again. Kind of mentality. And it's those things that, whoop, we're back into step one. We went on that slippery slope. We have a feast in eating worms. So it's a dangerous, slippery slope that we find ourselves in or on as Christians. But as we read on, luckily that the story didn't stop there, in verse 14, Jesus found him at the temple. So in my mind, what happened in that same day, so he was lying on the bed, on his mat, next to the butt. Jesus healed him. He picked up his stuff. He was confronted by the Jewish leaders. He slipped back. But what was amazing, what I picked up, is he continued walking. While he was confronted, he didn't say, okay, sorry. And he put his mat down next to the mat and the butt, and he left lying there. That's not what happened. So although he slipped, he kept on walking. And although the man did not know Jesus, he kept on walking even after coming face to face with the world. He kept on walking, and he walked to the temple. That was beautiful for me too when I read it. He kept on walking, and Jesus found him at the temple. What a great place to be found. Even after an absence of 38 years. So if you today, yeah, and you've slipped a bit. Maybe 2-3 weeks, a month, 2 years. God still waited for you at the temple. Just as this man. He walked there, and God found him there. And there he could have a discussion. So, but I want to speak to your heart. I've healed your legs. Now I want to take it one step further. And that's where verse 14, things like, stop sinning or something worse might happen to you. And when I read that, it was, what is worse? In your circumstances, maybe? Might be finances. It might be work. It might be health. Might be your marriage. It might be your kids. For you youngs, it might be your parents or your siblings. That could be. Or maybe Jesus referred to the outcome of the eternal judgment seat. And that's a court case all of us will go through. All of us. Irrespective if you're a Christian or not, you will face the ultimate judgment one day. And I think that's what Jesus referred to when he asked guys, stop sinning. He didn't say, oh, then you get paralyzed again, or maybe you'll get blind and paralyzed. I don't think that was his heart. His heart will stop sinning because I want to see you in heaven. I want to give you eternal life. But you might say at this point, but how do I stay then at step two or even on this journey to step three? How do I prevent from slipping? Because I want to inherit eternal life. I want to be a good reflection of Jesus. How do I do that? Because we just, together unpacked it. It's so easy for us just to, we slip down. It's them and it's me and it's everyone. It's just a mess. How do we prevent that? So let's quickly look at step three then. And how do we get there? So some fridge magnet wisdom for the people that are making notes. Thanks for them. So there's a responsibility on each of us to be obedient to the daily call you receive in your quiet place with Jesus. Let me read that again. There's a responsibility on each one of you, of us, to be obedient to the daily call you receive in your quiet time. Secondly, it is the action of obedience that breaks the slippery slope. So God is more interested in your obedience than your sacrifice. Say that again. God is more interested in your obedience than your sacrifice. Let's make it practical. We may be willing to sacrifice things just as long as I don't need to be obedient. For I will give up chocolates, but I'm not going running, as an example. I'll sacrifice a bird, but I'm not going to be completely obedient to what Jesus is asking of you. And again, this is a personal thing. I don't want to make it a big, it's not an us thing. This is a you thing. What is the Holy Spirit reveals to you, the things you hold on to? And it's not the sacrifice, it's the obedience that he's asking of each and every one of us. So how do I stay there, you might ask? Because I tried so many times, you might say. And I think that the problem and the solution is in that question of how do I stay on top? How do I get it right? Because I tried so many times. It's in that word I. I tried so many times. I failed. I couldn't get it right. That's the answer. You are completely correct. I tried. I did it on my own. That's why you failed. That's why I failed. I tried to do it on my own. And again, it links to the thing of pride. And I'll be the first one. And I think there's a few Afrikaans oaks that will nod. We are fixers. Ons boere will make a plan. A boer maak a plan. We'll fix it. Don't worry. Tell your wife, don't worry about it. We'll fix it. I'll fix it. I will do it. How many times does that lead to complete success or a complete disaster? It's because I did it. So bear with me. I just want to show a short little clip of the Afrikaans singer Joe Black. It was shared on the Manne Groep early in January. And I will encourage you guys. I already apologize to Dan because it is in Afrikaans. But I trust the Holy Spirit will even reveal to Dan what the message of Joe's little video is. And I think within this little clip, there's a golden key and an answer to how do you stay on step number 3. Thanks, Heike.
Ek het laas jaar 'n video gemaak oor hold fast of staan vas. En in hierdie storie het ek vertel hoe ons moet vas staan deur die storms, want in die woordeboek sê hold fast to bear down through a storm. En hierdie video het so groot gegaan en soveel mense se lewens aangeraak dat ek 2000 e-mails in die eerste dag gekry het. En soveel boodskappe van mans wat wou opgee. En ek besef ons almal resoneer met so 'n tipe storie. Maar al wat ek kon dink is, wat nou? En ek het hierdie mooi voorbeeld gekry. En dit gaan oor begrafnisse. So, in Suid-Afrika sit ons tans met 'n tweede groot pandemie. En dit is die feit dat mans is besig om hulle lewens te neem teen 'n ryk wat ons nie kan glo nie. So elke 9 minute is ons besig om 'n pa, 'n seun, 'n vriend, 'n broer te verloor. Net oor die feit dat ons nie praat nie. En ons sit ook met 'n ding wat ons noem trots, wat dit moeilik vir ons maak om emosioneel oop te maak teenoor die mense vir wie ons lief is. Nou hierdie scenario by 'n begrafnis, staan ek een kant en ek beleef hierdie ding van die buitekant af. En ek kom agter, almal praat sekkiespoek by 'n begrafnis. Dis asof ek mag nie vra hoe gaan dit nie, want ons is besig om te rou. Maar een ding wat ek besef het, toe daai begrafnis waar inry, toe kom daar doodse stilte oor elke liewe mens. En hulle roep 6 mense nader om haar kus uit die wa uit te dra. Terwyl daai man hom indra, vertel die predikant die mooiste storie oor daai man wat in die kus gelê het. Iemand wat sou opgee, iemand wat moeg was, iemand wat ingegee het. Maar hulle sê hy is daai ou wat altyd daar is. Hy is die ou wat jy 2 uur die oggend kan bel. Hy is die ou wat jou geyser sal regmaak al is hy nie elektriese nie. Hy is die ou wat jou sal help as jy jou kinders by die skool moet gaan haal. Hy is die ou wat altyd daar was. En dan kan jy ophou dink om te dink soos, maar hoekom was hierdie ou so eensaam? As jy kyk na hoeveelheid mense by sy begrafnis, dan besef jy, hy was geliefd, maar het hy dit geweet? Daarna roep hulle weer 6 mense op om die kus uit die kerk uit te dra. Nou wie is waar het my begin pla het, want ek sit en dink, ek weet nie wie die 6 draers gaan wees op my graf nie. En as jy lucky is die reserve span, so daar's 12 draers, en dit sal nie weer my broers wees en my klouste vriende of wat ook al. Maar ek weet nog nie wie die 12 ouens gaan wees wat dra nie. So ek neem aan ek gaan hopelik 6 hê. En by die begrafnis self, by die ter aarde bestelling, soos hulle dit noem, toe klim hy 6 manne uit, en hulle vat daai kus uit die baai uit. En een ding wat ek besef het, dit is die swaarste swaar dat hy 6 manne nog ooit gedra het. Want in hy kus, lê 'n vriend, lê 'n broer, lê 'n pa. Een ding wat ek toe oplet is, elke kus wat ek nog ooit gesien het, het 6 handvatsel. En al weeg die ou in die kus seker 80 kg, wat beteken 4 ouens wat elkeen 20 kg dra sou hom gemaklik gedra het. Maar elke kus het 6 handvatsels. En laat my dink, hulle is besig om te dra na 'n graf toe, wat 6 voet diep is. En 6 begin met my resoneer, want ek besef toe ook, vir 'n man wat so eensaam was, is hy connected aan die hele wêreld met niks meer as 6 koneksies nie. Hulle noem dit 6 degrees of separation. Wat beteken, almal in die hele wêreld is so connected aan mekaar, deur niks meer as 6 koneksies nie. En laat my dink aan die nommer 6. In die Bybel is die nommer 6 nie 'n goeie ding nie, as die nommer van die mens. Selfs as jou kar op 'n sekere getal is, 666, dan tel jy jou voete op en jy kyk weg tot hy oorslaat na 667 toe. Hulle het 6 keer om Jericho geloop en die mure het nie geval nie. 6 is die menslike nommer. Maar 7 is 'n goddelike nommer. 7 is die volmaakte nommer. Tot die jackpot skree 777. En ek dink God het gerus op die 7de dag. Hulle het 7 keer om Jericho geloop. Jesus het 7 sinne gepraat voor hy dood is. Jesus het net 7 vergelykinge vertel. 7. En my aandag is weer op hierdie 6 manne met nog een in 'n kus. En ek besef, daar loop 7. En ek vra myself, waar was daai manne wat hom moes dra terwyl hy nog geleef het? Ek sien, almal van ons het 6 manne in ons lewens nodig. 6 manne op wie ek kan staatmaak. 6 manne wat my kan dra, 6 manne wat my kan beskerm, 6 manne wat my kan raad gee. 6 manne wat my verstaan. Want saam maak ons 7. En 7 is die volmaakte getal. Ek het 'n klein bietjie konstruksie agtergrond. En een ding wat ek besef het, reg oor die hele wêreld bou hulle mure dieselfde. Alle huise, as jy 'n huis bou, bou hulle om in 'n stagger manier. Wat beteken die stene overlap mekaar so. En ek reken daai patent is die sterkste manier om 'n konkrete muur te bou. As jy hulle reg op mekaar gebou het, kon jy hom net omstamp. Maar een ding wat my te fascineer is, toe ek eers snap, hoekom is daai muur so sterk? Toe besef ek, elke steen raak aan 6 ander stene. En dis hoe ek my lewe nou toepas. Ek het 2 stene onder my. 2 manne wat my druk na hoër hoogtes toe. 2 manne wat my druk om aan te hou. Langs my het ek nog 2 stene. En dis ouens wat sonder enige judgment sal luister na my hart. Dis ouens wat my sal sê wanneer ek uit lyn uit is. Vir my sal sê, Joey is besig om 'n poepel te word. En dan bo my het ek 2 manne wat my hoër optrek na hoër hoogtes toe. Wanneer ek voel my geloof is 'n 4/10, maar ek het 'n pel wat 'n 9/10 is, sal hy my optrek sodat ek net so warm is vir my geloof soos hy. As dit by besigheid kom, het ek pelle wat suksesvol is in besigheid en hulle moet my optrek tot waar hulle is sodat ek besigheid beter kan verstaan. So wie is jou 6? Ek het laas jaar 'n video gemaak oor
so for me 2 things. The action of obedience and your 6 bricks is the method and the way of keeping away from eating worms. You have a far greater chance of staying on top of the hill, living with open eyes and able to walk into complete freedom that God has for you. With those 2. Action of obedience and your 6 bricks. And I think we're fortunate in this family to have far more than 6. We just look at yesterday, how many guys helped Colin and the guys moved. Anyone that moved, for that matter. For how many guys can you phone and say, I've got an issue, can you help me? And I want to challenge you guys. Spend time today in writing down who's your 6. And say, thanks God. Thank you God if there's more than 6. And if you don't have 6, find 6. Find at least 6. And make an appointment to speak with them. Have a phone call. Have a coffee. Have a braai. But make sure you know your 6 is. So in closing, I don't know where you are in the 3 steps. But you're somewhere. Either you're eating worms, or you're in the way up. Or today you can sit here and say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm one of those top bricks that pull my guys up. My friend, I'm pulling them up. If you look at a wall, there's another 2 on top of you that will pull you up again when you are down. Maybe you are down in the mud. You're feeling overwhelmed. Maybe you're feeling unloved and lonely. En sommer plain net moed verlore. I do feel strongly and believe today is a day of healing, of restoration, of victory. That's why I was even in worship, this thing of there's an expectation in my heart for today that there will be healing, there will be restoration. You will be set free today. But there's a call for action. You need to be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart now. Like I said, there's victory that you can stand up from your mat. You know what your mat is. That things that keep you bound, and to walk and in action of in obedience. And that you will seek your 6 bricks and break that spirit of independence, especially our men. And maybe some women here as well, that God will break that spirit of independence And you will walk in interdependence. So if the Holy Spirit tugs at your heart, I want to invite you to pick up your mat. Now. To pick up your mat and walk. And I want to make it practical. Pick up your mat and walk to the front. Because there's healing. God is asking you, do you want to get well? Do you want to get healed? I don't think he wants nyap excuses. He's asking you to pick up your mat and walk to the front. And if you sit here today and it's like, what are these people smoking? I've never heard this. I don't know this Jesus. Maybe I heard this story. But I want to meet him. Because I know there's something in my heart. Where's Dave? Dave skip vandaag. There's a varkie in my harkie. There's something that's not lekker. I want to deal with that. Today. I want to meet this Jesus. Today is the day that God enables you to pick up your mat.